Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, we'd like to welcome you to our gathering here as we meet together for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz. And as always, it's so nice having all of you join us. Hi, this is Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And again, we're so happy to be here and to have you sitting in on our conversation with Pastor Joe. It's always a wonderful blessing to take a break in our routine for some spiritual food as we dig into the scriptures on Bible Talk. And another great blessing is to be doing this with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Well, hello, Bobby. Hello, Rich. And hello, listeners. It's such a blessing for us to join around the coffee table and study the Word of God again together.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, we're exploring the Gospel of John chapter 3 and have come down to verses 20 and 21. They read, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Well, all of our programs are meant to be complete in themselves, since every passage are God's words for us, and have something important to say. So let's dive in right here and just continue where we left off. Pastor Joe?
John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 describe those people who love sin and therefore hate the light, because the light exposes their sins. That's what light does. When Jesus was in the world, sinful people were made uncomfortable by his presence because he revealed their sinful condition in light of his own holiness, in light of his own perfections, in light of his own godly lifestyle. So the best way to tell if, for example, a stick is crooked is to place a straight stick next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came into the world as the perfect God-man, he revealed the crookedness or sinfulness of other people. And so Jesus is the light, and those who practice walking with him in the light are of the light. If we say that we have the light, or we have fellowship with him, or we know God, or we are saved, or we are born again, or we are a child of God, those are all different kinds of statements and metaphors that people use to indicate they're going to heaven. But if we claim we're going to heaven, and we claim to know God, but we don't walk in the light, we walk in darkness, we live lives of rebellion and disobedience against God, the Bible says we're lying. We're not living out the truth. Actually, verse 5 says in 1 John 1, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We're not told that God is a light, but that he is light. In other words, light is part of his essence, as is love. It says God is love. And it says God is light. It's part of his nature. And so the message is that God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy, with no mixture of sin, no taint of iniquity, and no hint of injustice. Now, if we don't have the light, we don't know God. Those who know God, who walk with him, who are true children of God, are of the light. They love the light. And they agree with the light, and they, to some degree, walk in the light, except if they disobey God and give way to temptation. But it doesn't mean they live a lifestyle of walking in darkness. It means they have temporarily fallen, and they will recover. But they are made partakers of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, and that's why they can walk in the light. And God is light, as I said, and so is his son. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's John 8:12. And so to walk here, where he says they won't walk in darkness, means to make progress. To walk means to make progress, to go in a direction that is making progress in a certain area. Therefore, we can infer from this verse that Christians are meant to grow in holiness and to mature in faith and obedience as they get older in the faith, as they follow Jesus. And so God is light, and his plan is that believers shine forth his light, becoming more like Christ every day. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. God is the creator of physical light as well as the giver of spiritual light by which we could see the truth. Light exposes whatever is hidden in darkness. It shows things as they really are. And so to walk in the light means to know God, to understand the truth, and to live a lifestyle of righteousness.
Yes. Now, the Bible says that we've all sinned, Romans 3, verse 10. And disclosing some of those sins would be very difficult for many of us, just as it says here in verse 20 that those who walk in darkness do not want their wrongful deeds to be exposed. Now, what about that person who's carrying a heavy guilt burden about their past and feels shameful of what they've done? Do they have to publicly come into the light and confess their sins before they can become right before God?
No, that's not what it's talking about. God does not require a public confession of sin to be saved. A public confession of sin is not required for salvation. Anything that we can do of a religious nature, physically speaking, or before people, like confessing sin or attending a church service or being baptized, anything we do physically is not the grounds of salvation. It is not what we do. It is what Christ did on the cross by paying our sin debt that is the basis of our salvation. There's nothing wrong with confession of sins, but we can never believe in our minds that confessing sin or repenting of sin is going to earn merit or please God in and of itself. Confession of sin and repentance of sin is evidence that we are believers. They are the fruits that come from a heart that repents and trusts in Christ, but God does not require that from us as the basis of salvation. Salvation rests on the foundation of what Christ did in his atoning death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, the sacrifice of his broken body and shed blood, his perfect life. Everything that Jesus did to purchase our salvation is what forms the basis of our salvation and not what we do. But the public confession of sin, even the private confession of sin to people, for example, if I confess to people after I become a Christian, if I apologize to them for past wrongs, if I have a strong desire to make restitution, which usually is the case with brand new believers who, after receiving the Holy Spirit, are very sensitive to making right any wrongs that they have done and making restitution. If they are able to do that, sometimes it's not possible, but at least they have the desire to do it. These things are the fruits that come from the new birth and from true conversion, but they are not the grounds of becoming right with God.
You know, sometimes you hear that if you have unconfessed sins, that you're carrying this burden with you, where our Lord says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So what about walking around with an unconfessed sin? Does that hold me back from being right with God?
Yes, it does. For an unsaved person, but one who is not a Christian, the lack of confession of sin and repentance of sin and faith in Christ has certainly prevented them from becoming a child of God and the forgiveness of their sins. So God does require repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but those are both gifts of salvation. Those are gifts from God. And it is not the physical act in itself of doing that that saves us. But when we do come to God, the confession and repentance of sin and the faith we put in Jesus Christ to save us, they are like a bridge that lead us to God. But the Lord himself prompts us and moves us to repent and believe, so that no matter what we do, we can never take credit for the best thing we could do. Even those things that God commands us to do, like repent and believe in Jesus, we can never take credit for that, because every good gift comes from above, the Bible says, even repentance and faith. But when the free offer of the gospel is proclaimed, it is proclaimed to people in the present tense. That is, they hear the command and the gospel proclamation to repent and to put their trust in Christ. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. And if they don't repent and believe in Jesus, they will perish, and it will be their fault. And God will punish them by separating himself from them forever and punish them in hell. But it will be because they did not repent and believe in Jesus. Even though God commanded them to, they will be at fault, and God will punish them for not doing it because they rejected the free offer of the gospel by God. So we don't confuse the matter. It is required for unsaved people, non-Christians, to confess their sin, which is part of repentance. You have to verbally or in your heart and mind admit to God that you sinned against him. You, a sincere seeker has such a sincere desire to make things right with God that they don't hesitate to seek in their background all the sin they can possibly remember and confess it and tell God they hate it and they repent of it. They don't want to do it again. And they want to make a 180 change of direction. They want to go towards God now. And then they hear the command to believe. And so they are trusting Jesus Christ, though they can't see him nor hear his voice. They believe the promise that Jesus has given to all who seek him, that if they trust in him, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. For the Christian, repentance and confession of sin is something we do on a daily basis. But since our initial repentance and the exercising of faith in Christ, all of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. All of those sins have been forgiven. So when a Christian actually confesses sin, God is not forgiving that Christian of sin. Those sins have already been forgiven when they first became saved. But unconfessed sin does hinder our relationship with God on a daily basis. The Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So as a Christian, if I don't confess my sin, then God won't hear my prayers, my Bible reading and my walk, my relationship with God on a daily basis will be hindered. Sin will be like a wedge between me and God. It will hinder lively thoughts of meditation about God. It will restrict my ability to speak and have thoughts flow and worship flow to God with liberty and freedom. It will constrict greatly the communication between me and God and the relationship and the worship that I have for God. It will make things very awkward in my relationship with him if I don't confess and repent of my sins on a daily basis. Again, these sins have already been forgiven for the Christian, but when we confess our sin, it's like somebody who rolled around in the mud outside and got all their clothes filthy and came in and washed their clothes and put on new garments. What God is saying by that in the parable to Peter, he who is clean doesn't need to change their garments. They just need to wash their feet. What God is saying there, for the Christian, their garments have already been cleansed. They already have the white robe of Christ's righteousness on them. But their feet, because they come into contact with the world and with sin on a daily basis, they just need to clean their feet. That is, they just need to confess and repent of their sin, even though those sins are already totally forgiven.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe, or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org. And ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Now, back in our verse in 21, it says that we're told that those who do the truth come to the light. So, does this mean that if we do good deeds or obey the Ten Commandments, that we're in the light, in a right relationship with God?
Well, doing the truth or obeying God's commandments is a sign that the heart of a Christian, that the spirit of a Christian, and that the mind of a Christian has been freed up from the breaks that sin tend to place on obedience. Once a believer has been brought back into a place of enthusiastic obedience, it means that their conscience has been cleansed afresh by the blood of Christ from sins which have awkwardly hindered their walk and relationship with God. So obedience and doing good deeds and obeying the Ten Commandments and walking in the light in a right relationship with God is an indication that we are not just hearers of the word or hearers of the truth, but doers of the truth and doers of the word. But believers in Christ must confess any darkness within themselves, their sins and their transgressions, and allow God to shine his light through them again. Christians cannot sit idly by and watch others continue in the darkness of sin as well, knowing that those in darkness are destined for eternal separation from God and eternal damnation. And so the light of the world desires to banish the darkness and bestow God's wisdom everywhere. And the light within us, the truth that is emerging and growing within our hearts, not only wants to obey the commandments of God and does obey the commandments of God, but also we want to reach out to other people. We have boldness. We have courage because of the fresh cleansing of the blood of Christ of all areas of unconfessed sin in our hearts.
Yes. Then verse 21 concludes by saying that if we're doing the truth, truly a child of God, that our deeds will be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Does this imply then that our outward actions are an indicator of our walk with God?
Yes and no. But yes, it is a sign that our outward actions are in keeping with God's will and an indicator that we are right with God and walking closely with God if we are obeying God's word. Very often, zeal to obey God's word and enthusiasm in doing what God commands us to do is an indication that our inside life, our hearts, and who we are in our thoughts and in our motives, we are definitely walking with God with a clear conscience, and there's an open heaven between us and God nothing hindering the outward obedience. But there are some people who are good actors and actresses, and they are able to disguise the inward mediocrity and lukewarmness and hypocrisy by just doing the outward works and talking a good talk. They go to church. They do everything outwardly that they're supposed to do as a Christian, go to church and maybe pass out tracts and do good deeds. But doing good deeds alone or outward actions alone are not always an indication that a professing Christian is where he or she need to be spiritually in their heart relationship with God. The Pharisees are a good example of that. Jesus taught them, and he said, look, you make the outward man clean, you wash cups, you wash dishes, you perform all of the traditions outwardly of the Jewish religion, but in your heart, you're like whited sepulchers. On the outside, you're beautiful, you do everything that's good, but on the inside, you're like dead spiritually. What's inside of a sepulcher? Death, right? The bones of dead people. And so we need to make sure that our inward life with God, our conscience, our love for God, our worship of God, our heart relationship with God is in tune and in alignment with our outward works and our obedience. When those two things are in alignment, the inward man with the outward man, God is very pleased with the life of that person, that believer. This was the big controversy that God had with Israel in the Old Testament. He basically told them, in words you profess that you know God, but in works you deny him. The inward person did not match the outward person. Their spiritual works in their hearts did not match what they profess to be on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And after hundreds of years of disobedience and this imbalance between the inward life and the outward obedience, God finally poured out great judgment upon Israel and took them away into two specific captivities, the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivities. Eventually, he rejected them as a nation. And for the last 2,500 years, there has really not been any light that has been given to Israel. They have been rejected as God's people. But there is hope for them.
And as you're talking about Israel, the Lord warned them that if you depart from me, I will depart from you. And isn't that the case here, that God is warning us that if we cling to him, he will be our God and our Lord, and we will walk in his light. But if we depart from him or do not even recognize him, that he will depart from us?
Well, that's the battle, isn't it, with the Christian. The Christian warfare for the true believer is such that we have this fluctuating and vacillating faithfulness. If we walk with God, then he will walk with us. And if we don't walk with God, we'll be of all men most miserable, because in our hearts and in our consciences, the presence of God and the love of God and the fellowship of his Spirit will diminish and weaken to a level that will make us very, very unhappy as Christians. But the good news is God promises, if you return to me, I will return to you, says the Lord. And he will pour floods again upon the dry ground of our heart. And those showers of blessing will water the garden of the Lord in our hearts again and bring forth the fruit and flowers of love to God, true spiritual worship in spirit and in truth, and the fruit of evangelism, which is a desire and an open door to share the gospel with unsaved people.
Mm-hmm. Like the Bible says, it's by our fruits that we show whether or not we're walking with God. When you look at the results of our lives and our walk, is that true?
Yes, Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. And that's the one telltale measure and sign of a true Christian, is the spiritual fruits of love, peace, joy, long-suffering, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the constant growth of our character to become more and more like the character of Jesus, the transformation of our minds and lives into the very mind of Christ, the image of Christ, as well as the second fruit of bringing forth fruit in the lives of other people, sharing the gospel, giving them the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and watering that seed in the lives of other people who have already heard the gospel, giving more information to those people about how to be saved. And even though as Christians we'll never know the true impact of our gospel witness, we know that God promises in John 15 that I have ordained you, he says, that you bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And so that second fruit of the evangelistic results of sharing the gospel will take place whether we see it or not in the lives of other people.
Yes, and I like how it says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, that there is hope, that it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So there is hope to seek the Lord, for the Lord is there with open arms.
Isn't that wonderful, Rich? There's another promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So I would just encourage our listeners at this point to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him. If you're not a Christian, put your trust in him. Lay your life at his feet. You say, well, I can't see him or hear him. It doesn't matter, because his promises in the Bible are just as true as if he was here to give them himself. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He who has the Son has life, the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. We've been talking about the light, and the Bible, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So if you've heard the good news of salvation that we've been just talking about, and you believe that Jesus is the truth and the light and the way, put your trust in him. Even though you can't see him, call upon him in prayer. Believe in your heart that God not only raised him from the dead, but that he can pluck you as a brand from the burning and save your never-dying soul right now. Do that now. And if you're a Christian, there's hope for you. As I said earlier, God promises to restore comforts and grace and power and strength to every born-again believer who has been maybe wandering from the sheepfold and stumbling and halting between two opinions and has lost your convictions and has compromised and has shrunk back to the world. God promises that he will, as the great shepherd, leave the sheepfold, leave the 99, seek you out and find you, put you on his shoulders, bring you back lovingly and gently and kindly to the sheepfold, cleanse you afresh in his precious blood from that unconfessed sin and that defilement of your spirit, and he will pour forth once again the purity of his love and the strength of your convictions back into your heart.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.